Good evening, CWOW. Tonight's scripture comes from Isaiah chapter 64, verses 1 through 9. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood, and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. But you were angry, and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all of our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people. This is the word of the Lord.
So first things first, I want to say Happy New Year. So it's not that I am a month early, or approximately a month early, but this is in fact the new year of the Christian year, the liturgical year, and today is the first day of Advent. And I mentioned to Jill Gidlin that I was going to say that, and she's like, that's good, because someone else can beat the liturgical year drum other than her. So we should all affirm that it is good to, you know, be on the liturgical year with not only Christianity broadly across the world today, but throughout history. And it's a deep, rich history that we're a part of, and it's good to remember that. And it's good to get to celebrate New Year's, not like after Christmas, where it's kind of like a letdown holiday anyway. So it's nice to get to do it now while we're gearing up to wait and prepare for the coming of Jesus. Advent's actually been celebrated in the church for since about the 4th century, so it's been a long time. And even like the Orthodox Church celebrates Advent. They do it a little bit differently. It's a little bit more like Lent than it is, maybe than this time of waiting and preparation. We're here at CWOW. We're kind of on the, you know, waiting for the coming of Jesus again bandwagon of how we celebrate Advent. But it's been a different season and different focuses for different churches throughout history. And in our Advent, which means coming, it's a Latin Advent, not Adventus, but what Advent is based on. And it's about the three comings of Jesus. The first coming is the one that we're about to celebrate, which is when he came as a baby and was, that's the nativity story that's mentioned in Luke, and how he came and was birthed to Mary and Joseph. There's also the coming of Jesus for us each and every day. Hopefully each one of us is actively and consistently experiencing Jesus' coming, his revelation and invitation in our lives right now. Jesus did not just come 2,000 years ago as a baby and only came to those people, but he's come to each one of us, and he wants to come to each person across the world. And so we are remembering and celebrating that coming of Jesus. And then finally, we're also remembering and expecting that Jesus will come again. That Jesus, when he came, he did fundamentally change the world and how we interface with God. I think that Rena hit last week in her sermon about Jesus said, I am the gate. And Rena talked about how he is the gate to abundant life. But I think if we look at the world around us today on earth, we don't see the world the way that God created it, the way that God intended it. And so Jesus is coming again to make all things right. That image of the lion laying with the lamb, I think that's all about this next coming of Jesus, when he will come back to the earth and set all things right. So for us in this season of Advent, our theme this year is going to be mystery. So as you came in through those really beautiful banners, you saw these different mysteries called out in those banners. So each week in this time of Advent, we'll be talking about a different mystery. And the mystery that I'm going to be talking about tonight is the mystery of waiting. And I think like mystery can seem like, well, you know, I could just say, hey, the mystery of waiting, it's a mystery. All right, enough said. But I have a little bit more time than that. So I'll talk a little bit more about it. And I think it's good to not throw our hands up that, oh, it's a mystery, we will never understand it, which is true. But when we take the time and the energy and the effort that we engage in the mystery, that we look at it, we try to feel spiritually and emotionally our way around that mystery, how it makes us feel that it is mysterious. We don't know. We don't understand. Maybe we can't understand everything there is to know about it. But I think having just studied this series on John and talking about the way that John revealed Jesus to us, talking about the way that Jesus revealed God to us, it's a good preparation for us to now engage with mystery. Jesus did not fully reveal God to us. We cannot know God. John did not fully reveal Jesus to us. There's a lot of other books in the Bible to talk about Jesus and who he is, and then there's our own experience of Jesus ourselves where we're kind of adding to that story. But I think that we're in a good place to sit and now ready to engage with this mystery of waiting as we're waiting for Jesus' next coming. And also waiting is a universal experience. We all spend a lot of time waiting. You know, maybe we're waiting in line, maybe we're waiting, you know, for the next iPhone, although hopefully you're satisfied, one just came out. You know, we're all waiting. Some of us, you know, we look around, we look at our life, it doesn't feel or seem like abundant life to us. We're waiting for God to break through. And while I don't have time to talk a lot about what's going on in the broader book of Isaiah, you can see we were on chapter 64. It's a long book, as books go in the Bible. And there's a lot going on. It's a lot about what has happened to Israel, what's going to happen to Israel, and also speaking to our age and the age to come, this second coming of Jesus. All of that is in that book, and I wish I could get into it because it is really interesting, but I can't. But I can tell you that this section of Isaiah that we're in from Isaiah 64, the chapter before, it's actually 63 and 64. Together, they're what's called a lamenting sort of prayer. It's a prayer of the kind of a song, almost like a psalm. A lot of the psalms are psalms of lament. And they're crying out for God. They're crying out for God to come. They're waiting for God to come. What has happened is there was this event called the Babylonian exile. All the Israelites, Israel was completely taken over by another nation, Babylon. You may remember that from your, fifth grade or something history. And the Jews were cast all through the Babylonian kingdom. It was called the diaspora. I forget how it's pronounced, sorry. And they're coming back. They're coming back to Israel now. And they're having a lot of trouble. It feels like maybe not the same promised land that they were cast out from or they were captured from. And when they were, they're having a lot of power grabs. There's a lot of disputes. And they're looking for something, God, to work in a violent way. They're saying, tear open the heavens and come down. And as when the fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, they are trying to look for the evidence of God's presence in their midst because they are looking around and seeing the circumstances and the things happening around them, and it is not looking like the promised land. It is not looking like God has brought them to a spacious place. And if we look around our nation today, it's rough. If we look around the globe today, it's sort of rough. There's the Ukraine, where there's this like terrible power grab by Vladimir Putin, and Russia took away some other nation, and is making moves for more. And we're not even heard about it for months because we're completely captivated and distracted with Ebola, with what's actually happening in Israel today. The Israel and Palestinians are having a real crisis in the Sudan. It just, Nigeria. I mean, it goes on and on, all of these terrible things going on. And even if we look right here in the United States, we have this terrible injustice going on. And I don't want to get into what did or didn't happen in Ferguson in that specific case with Mike Brown and Officer Wilson. Because, I mean, I honestly don't know. And I think that many of us would have differing opinions on what that is. But what I think we can agree on is that there are a lot of people crying out for justice all across our nation, from New York to Oakland, from the South to the North. The African American community in our nation is crying out and lamenting for God to come and bring justice where there is injustice. Now, I'm gonna be honest, feels like really a little bit intimidating for me, like I'm just this white lady to be talking about this. Like, who am I to talk about this? And, you know, in a lot of ways, I agree. Like, I have not experienced that kind of injustice. If you know me, you know that I can shoot off my mouth when it is not good or appropriate to do so. The people who, I just got an amen from the back, so you know I'm speaking the truth. And I think about my life and that, you know, I have never been arrested. I'm going to go out on a limb and say I don't think I've even ever been close to being arrested. And if I were an African-American man, I think that might be different. I think if I lived my life just the way I have and I look different, I think my experience of our system and our society would be a different thing. So while I have not personally, I can't stand here and say I've experienced that injustice, what I can say is I can see, I mean, if you even look at the faces in this picture of these people, an injustice has been done. And these people are crying out for justice. And I think that the thing that, if you were here last week, we had a gentleman up front, Cesar, giving a testimony. And one of the things he said that really got to me was, he says he wants to take on other people's problems like they're his problems. And I think that for me, when I see these people crying out for injustice, God's invitation to me is to take on their injustice, their cry for injustice, as if it is my own. And I know that that's a, I do not anticipate, well, oh, now that I'm taking on that, now we're going to see immediately justice happen. I don't think that that is what's going to happen. But it is good for me to lament alongside my brothers and sisters who have experienced trauma at the hands of the injustice in our society. And it's good for me as someone who maybe hasn't personally experienced that, to look at it and sit with it, and to hear the stories of its effects, to see how it has, you know, torn families apart. Whatever, in this particular case, whatever Michael Brown did or didn't do, I don't know, I'm not sure that he should be dead for those things, but that is sort of the facts before us. And it's a real point of suffering for his family, and that these things happen in our nation should be a point of suffering, not just for African Americans or young black men, but it should be a point of suffering for us all. So when I look at that, I hear God's invitation for me to make their problems my problems, and to be ready to suffer with them and cry out and lament that God would come and make his presence known. And so now we can, if we look at what this Song of Lamentation, One of the things that the Israelites do, or Isaiah does, is he says, when you did awesome deeds that we did not expect. When we're waiting and surrounded, it feels like every direction we look, it's terrible things going on. We need to remember who God is, who God has been to our nation or our community. Now, we don't live the same sort of tribal life that the Israelites lived, but one thing that really bound the Israelites together was their common history. The Old Testament is full of stories about the history of the people of God, and now we are the people of God, and we have a common history. I mean, we were just talking about Advent and how it's been going on for thousands of years, and how all of Christians throughout history, many have participated and celebrated in that. And we have a history too. And we need to remember the awesome things that God did. We can remember in this time of Advent that Jesus came. And that he came as a little baby, which to me is very not what I would expect. I think if you read further in John, you read some of the other Gospels, you'll see that it is not how many of the Israelites thought that the Messiah, which is who Jesus was, he was the coming to, it just means anointed one. It's talked about in Isaiah that this Messiah will come. They did not expect him to come like Jesus. They did not expect him to be born in a manger. They didn't expect for him to be the kind of Messiah he was. And I wouldn't have either. I would think God can just come and, you know, whip everything back into shape and reveal himself to everyone and, you know, done, good. God can do that, right? He's sovereign, isn't he? But Jesus does say in John, and Rena talked about this too, that Jesus says, because I lay my life down in order to take it up again. That Jesus is sovereign. He's just not doing it the way that maybe we would expect. Maybe you expect that. Maybe that's not surprising to you. But I think that our God is a God who works in ways that we don't expect. And so often when we look around our circumstances, it doesn't seem like abundant life. It doesn't seem like the abundant life for myself personally. It doesn't seem like abundant life for our nation. And it really doesn't seem like abundant life for our world. We are like, right, in such the upper echelon of nations of our consumption and how much we have versus other nations. I'm not sure. I lived in sub-Saharan Africa for a couple of years, and I'm not sure that's abundant life. You know, how does that abundant life and the life that I have here, you know, how are those two things abundant life for everybody? But then I have to remember who God is, and that sometimes God's not doing what I expect. Sometimes I can't look around me and be like, oh, now I know what God is up to. Sometimes I have to look back and remember who God is and project that into my faith and into the future of, is this the God that I serve? And do I believe that God is sovereign? So while we wait, we remember who God is. And then we have to remember that this is really true. No eye has seen any God besides our God who works for those who wait for him. The Israelites really experienced this. They were often waiting on God, and eventually God worked. And if you even, I mean, to modern day, you know, they were waiting for that new nation of Israel for a long time. Thousand years, or I'm not that good at history, but they were waiting a long time. So it's not that we expect that these things are going to change overnight while we're waiting, but we must believe that God is at work while we wait. That waiting is not us, you know, we can't see what he's working on. We can't tell necessarily, but we have to always believe that this is the moment. This moment right now is the moment that God can spring forth. And when I went to a prayer meeting about Ferguson, when the decision was first announced, I remember feeling really disappointed, like, oh, I thought that this could be the moment. And for every moment that we have to believe that this could be the moment that God is going to spring forth, that God is going to reveal himself to us and show the thing that he has done and the work that he has been doing even while we waited. We have to hold on to the promise of God that he is the good shepherd and bringing us to abundant life, that he is the gate. And when we enter through that gate of Jesus, we are entering into the promised land. It's not to say it's going to look like the promised land that we're hoping for, like I got my recliner, I got my big TV, I can watch all my shows. But it is going to look like the abundant life that God has for us. And there is a way to engage in that waiting and that revelation of abundant life that God really wants us, I think, to engage in. The mystery of waiting is waiting while God's promise is not yet fulfilled. And when I look around, I see a lot of not fulfillment of God's promise in our world. And, you know, I see it, I mean, in a more micro level just for myself that, you know, just, I mean, I think like a year ago, I was at church and I was just feeling not good about church. I just felt like, you know what, this, where is my place at church? And I would say that to some people and they'd be like, what you talking about, Willis, you know, or Loretta, because my name's not Willis. And if you laughed at that reference, it means you know different strokes, and that means that we're older than some people. But that's okay. I do have the gray hair to prove it. But yeah, I was feeling really out of place. And when I would talk, you know, to people who knew me, and, you know, I maybe do some things at church, they'd be like, what? How can you not feel like there's a place for you here at CWOW? And I was like, I don't know, I just don't feel like there is. And it's making me sad, it makes me want to leave, it makes me want to disengage, it makes me want to find someplace else, because I don't know how to wait when I don't know how to keep going to church when it doesn't feel like really life-giving for me. And I think I stayed, as you might have guessed, since here I am. And I prayed with a lot of people from our congregation. I got prayer. And even right now, standing in front of you, I can't put my finger on what exactly changed. But God broke through. And as I look out among my church family, I am so grateful to be a community with you guys. And I'm so grateful that as I am waiting for abundant life for me, as I'm waiting for justice for those who do not have justice in our nation, I am grateful that I can do it with you, because it is so, so hard to wait alone. It is hard to remember who God is and what he has done when we are all by ourselves, because when we're sad and feeling, you know, for myself, a little depressed, it's really hard to remember that did God ever do anything like that I really wanted, or was it always this like, ugh, hard but built character stuff, which is like never that fun. But then our, you know, other people have been like, oh, I've been through something like that, and God brought me through, and that's a real encouragement. So I think as we wait, don't wait by yourself. It will be a long, hard slog. And it's going to be a long, hard slog, frankly, anyway. But at least, you know, they say misery loves company. Maybe that's true. I'm crazy sometimes. The other thing is to, when we don't remember who God is to get into the Bible. And that's why I love that at Celebration, we talk about the Bible each and every week, because the Bible talks about the God that we serve. The Bible talks about the promises of God to us as a community, as a church. And also, I love that we do prayer ministry every week, and not just because I'm a prayer minister and I'm like often up here saying what the words are, But that's a place where God makes promises to people. I don't know that I've ever prayed for someone in prayer ministry where I did not feel like God made a promise to them. And it's good to remember our promises, and it's really hard to hear that word by yourself. It's always easier, I think, to hear it for someone else. And so while we're remembering who God is, the promises God has made to us, we also have to remember that God's not taking direction from us. And I will, for one, say sometimes I really wish he was. God works in unexpected and mysterious ways. As much as there is a mystery in waiting, there's like a mystery in how God works for sure. And the question is do we believe that God is in control? Do we believe that the God we serve is a God who is working for our good, even while we're waiting, even while we can't see the evidence of that? If I'm standing and I'm looking really hard at my circumstance, waiting for that thing to change, I'm not really actively waiting for God. I'm actively waiting for that circumstance to change, and that may not be the thing that God is doing. We need to really shift our focus from, and that's not to say put our head in the sand and don't know that something like Ferguson is going on around us, but we have to be oriented to God, and we have to be oriented to what is the thing that God is revealing to me, and listening really hard for his invitation to you. What is his invitation to you? Because when God knit you together in your mother's womb, he had a plan for you. And it was to prosper and not to harm. It was to give you hope and a future. And so if we look at our circumstances, I think you would be challenged to have hope for a future when we look around. When I look at Ferguson, I have a hard time believing that that looks like hope and a future for our nation, for the races, the race relations of our nation, for justice for the African American community. So we need to not wait for our life to be what we want, but we need to wait about our lives being what God is giving us to the very spacious place that God is drawing each and every one of us. So for the next steps, I think we're in a hard season, and I think that Advent is a time of waiting for the second, you know, for the that Jesus is coming again and to prepare for this celebrating. But I think it would be good for us to, if you are sitting there thinking, I'm not waiting for anything. I feel like abundant life. I'm hitting it on all cylinders. Things are going, you know, just perfect. Wow, I am so glad for you. But I think sometimes we distract ourselves with a lot of this and that, so that we don't have to engage in the areas of disappointment and gap where we're waiting. But I think it's good to stop as we try to make some space and time in this Advent season to realize what you're waiting for. Or do you already know, is it palatable in your mouth what you're waiting for? For myself, in some ways, I feel like I am waiting for God's justice. And I know that a lot of other people are too. And we want to see movement and change there. When we're taking on someone else's problem and making it our own, do we want to desperately see movement there? We need to cry out that God would reveal himself, because God is at work. I also think it's good if we ask one another to wait with us for the deep longings of your heart. It is hard to wait by yourself. And so ask others to come alongside with you. And don't think for a second that they're not waiting for something too. I know that there's an opportunity to get a prayer partner for Advent, or maybe come to the Advent prayer retreat. But get more people on your team of waiting to wait alongside you, to encourage you, and to help speak to where God is revealing himself. And finally, please share with others how God reveals himself. We are all waiting for all kinds of things. And God is breaking through in all kinds of ways. And it's so good to share those stories. That is what has been so good about the Gospel of John, is that we have been sharing the stories of God's revelation from John's perspective, and it would be good for us to share our own. Even in the face of when we know the circumstances aren't any different, but there are large and small ways that God is breaking through. And let's share those with each other to help build our faith about the promises that God has given us, and that this very moment could be the moment that God is going to break through and reveal all the work that he has been doing. I'm just going to pray real fast to close us. Jesus, we are so grateful that you came. We are grateful that you are the gate and that you are our good shepherd. Would you continue to deepen our understanding of waiting? Jesus, would you help us to wait for you and not for the things that we want? And Jesus, I want to once more, among the many voices tonight, I think across our nation, cry out for your justice, for the poor, to cry out for your justice, for people of color. Jesus, would you break my heart more, even as your heart breaks? Would you break all of our hearts for the suffering of your people? Jesus, would you make us one? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.